Welcome to the Fantasy Football Elite Podcast. Whether you're a seasonal or daily fantasy football player, Guru Elite has the experience, knowledge, and power to make you a champion. Here's your host, Jeff Mann.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Fantasy Football Elite. I'm your host, Jeff Manns. GuruElite.com is where you find me on Twitter, at Jeff underscore Manns, M-A-N-S, the Jeff Manns, other social media outlets. What's going on, everybody? Happy middle of the week here in May. Football season is not yet upon us, but we're talking about how to make money playing fantasy football, betting on football, and just being ahead of the competition like we constantly are over here at GuruElite.com. Welcome to the show. Today we are going to talk some best ball strategies. On last time's podcast, the fifth episode, this is episode six of season two. On the fifth episode, hopefully you guys had heard that, we talked about the two quarterback idea that I like to float, two QB setup that I like to approach here in best ball formats. And today we're going to talk about quarterback pairings and which two quarterbacks make the most sense for us. Got a lot of other things to get to as well. Some game theory talk we will do on the show today as well. You guys are giving me good feedback at Jeff underscore Manns on the Twitter machine. GuruElite.com. If you're in any of our chat rooms, the betting chat room, the NBA, the NFL's not up right now, but MLB is very much up and at them. And you guys give me feedback there when you see me as well. I'd love to hear it. Some good thoughts coming out from people, some good strong suggestions for future episodes as well, which I'm always encouraged by. Some news around NFL we'll start with today. Couple of things coming out. For one, this is just hours after a very minor trade in the National Football League that happened on Tuesday afternoon, and that is the New York Jets trade Christian Hackenberg to the Oakland Raiders. They get a conditional seventh round pick out of the deal. Hackenberg was a guy that was the 51st overall pick back in 2016, and what obviously, it was a horrific and terrible mistake there. Never took off with the Jets. Not a big surprise. One of the reasons that I look at Sam Darnold, and it's over before it begins. Just not a pleasant spot to develop a quarterback. You just don't have the coaching staff there. You just don't have, right now especially, Hackenberg, when he's drafted, the Jets were actually a competitive ball club, but that's deteriorated very, very quickly. And Todd Bowles and Jeremy Bates, these are not guys that are going to develop a quarterback into anything. So the funny thing about this trade is earlier on Tuesday morning, I think it was morning or early afternoon, Hackenberg came out in the local press in New York and started complaining about the fact that he had throwing mechanics issues and that he had never, in his 2.5 years in New York, no QB coach, no member of the coaching staff had ever tried to fix his mechanics, that he was out there just like a lost wandering dog trying to figure it all out and do it on his own. Had no problem and no help from the coaching staff, essentially. And then now he gets punted to the Raiders. And it doesn't make any sense for the Raiders. Like, Christian Hackenberg, this isn't like, the reason I wanted to talk about this on today's show has nothing to do with what I think about Christian Hackenberg. I think he's garbage and he's not going to be any kind of fantasy relevant this year, but it has to do with coaching staffs and how important they are and how important they are developing players. Because here's what happens when you suck at your job. When you suck at your job, you look at other people. You never admit to yourself, and it's never admitted around you that you suck at your job. It's always, oh, I'm great at my job, but everybody else has better advantages. They just have better talented players. All those coaches in the National Football League have better players than I do. Woe is me, wah, wah, wah. It's bull crap. That is absolute bull crap. The New England Patriots don't have better talent than the Cleveland Browns, for instance. They don't. They just don't. There's not better talent. There's better coaches. Coaches develop talent. I've said it many, many times that the NFL is loaded with top 0.1% of athletes. They're freaks. I think I said it in this last podcast, as a matter of fact, here at Fantasy Football Elite. I've been talking about forever now. And these are the top physically skilled and gifted players you'll ever come across in life on an NFL field. Even when you're talking about the 90 players invented to training camps, these are all the elite of the elite of the elite. All right? It's up to the coaches to put them in the proper spots and develop them accordingly. And coaches, we have a real, real empty, vacated swath within the National Football League right now of coaches. There's just not a lot of difference-making coaches. And those who are perennially in the playoffs, no matter about injuries, no matter about draft picks or status or free agency. None of it matters. So when you suck at your job, you can't develop talent. And guess what? The Jets have not developed any talent. What player on the New York Jets roster right now or in the recent future has developed under Todd Bowles? I'll wait. I'll wait. Let's hear it. I'll play the Jeopardy. Nobody. Nobody at all. And I'll go as far as to say is Jamal Adams, who I think is probably their best player on the entire team, the safety. He's regressed since college even. Like, I thought Jamal Adams was going to make a much better impact coming out of LSU than he ended up making last year with the Jets. And even Todd Bowles, and that's Todd Bowles' bread and butter, defense, secondary. This is supposed to be his guy. And I think Jamal Adams is a great player still. But did he really develop in anything? Is he a difference maker? Is this defense? No. Nobody on offense is developed. Nobody on defense is. That's why we need to pay attention to the coaches. Seven new head coaches this season in the National Football League. Arizona, Chicago, Detroit, Indianapolis, Giants, Oakland, Tennessee. Those are your vacancies there that have been filled by new head coaches. Every single one of those, except in Detroit, they have a new offensive coordinator. Jim Bob Cooter remained for Matt Patricia, who went from New England to Detroit. 19 new offensive coordinators in 2018. It's the most I've ever seen since I've been covering football in 1999. I've never seen this big of a turnover from either offensive or defense coordinators ever. We've seen 16. Several times, which was half the league. Never seen anything above that. Defense coordinators have 13 new ones. This is important. Now, you know, some of these guys are just changing address, changing situations and sets, setups, and guys who are coaches that move around the entire NFL, they're not difference-making coaches. They're not developing talent. If they did, they'd stay where they're at, in the position they're at. Okay, so don't freak out about them. But every now and then, you get a situation like in Philadelphia with Doug Peterson where all of a sudden there's talent and there's an infliction of talent and then there's development of those younger players around that talent. And that's what we look for. And behind all of that, folks, is some significant fantasy football success stories. So just remember this. And it's the if it has to be the lesson of Christian Hackenberg, then so be it. Then it is. Hackenberg, by the way, goes to the Raiders, where obviously have Derek Carr, right? Of course. But then you have Connor Cook, who they're real high on. Fourth-round pick from it's a couple of years ago. Started a playoff game last year, 2 years ago for them, as a matter of fact. And then you have E.J. Manuel as a former first-round pick. That's their third quarterback. Now, is Hackenberg going to beat out E.J. Manuel? I strongly doubt it. Do they even keep three quarterbacks is a question. I'm assuming they will. It seems like a real suspicious acquisition for the Raiders, but Gruden loves his quarterbacks, and now he's sidled with him with Christian Hackenberg, a guy I believe he loved going into that draft and really liked him going to the New York Jets. So we shall see if his mechanics improve, his arm improves, accuracy, any of that going forward. We'll see it in training camp and in the preseason, because I don't think we're going to see regular season games out of Hackenberg probably ever. He might never actually play a single down. But nevertheless, other news, more interesting news from around the world of the NFL. I found this story to be a little interesting in that Chad Williams of the Arizona Cardinals, he reached out and actually has been working out the last couple of weeks with another former Chad across the National Football League, or former from the National Football League, and that's Chad Ochocinco, a.k.a. Chad Johnson. So pretty interesting. Those two have been working out and everything else. Chad Williams, not a guy that, you know, the landing spot when you go to the Arizona Cardinals and you've got a guy like Larry Fitzgerald in place already, I think it's a nice setup for him. He could learn behind Larry, and, you know, in a year or two, he could develop into being something, you know, something significant possibly as far as the NFL wide receiver is concerned. But he was talking about it. Chad Williams came out in the local press today and said, oh, yeah, well, I've learned as much from Ochocinco mentally as I ever would physically. And he's saying that this is, he's teaching him a lot of how to read defenses and how to be a professional athlete and carry himself and all these kinds of things. And I found that to be pretty interesting, especially when we're talking about a young player like that. And you get a guy, for one, I just like the idea of reaching out to people from the past. I really believe in that. I don't know if you guys do it in your regular everyday lives or not, but, you know, whether it's a grandparent, a parent, a friend, or just somebody in your community, when you have a question, hey, you know, I have problems with my irrigation system, what do I do? Oh, man, you know, I have a lot of experience doing that, and here's what you do. I'll come out there and I'll help you out. That goes a long way. You learn a lot from the old people, folks. All right? You learn a lot from the old folks. So the fact that Chad Williams would go and reach out and do that, I found it to be a breath of fresh air. And now you have him working out with former guys. Then you get him in the same locker room as Larry Fitzgerald. And that's very, you know, very interesting to me. You know, and I think this is a guy who underdeveloped in his rookie season and is obviously, by the addition of Christian Kirk, is going to be kind of put on the hot seat here for Arizona, needs to step up. Jerron Brown and John Brown, the Brown brothers, are gone, everybody. So you bring in Bryce Butler and you say, okay, Bryce Butler had shown some flashes in Oakland and in Dallas. And now you got him. J.J. Nelson's kind of been a downfield threat the last couple of years. They spent a second-round pick on Christian Kirk. Chad Williams was a third-round pick from a year ago. I think his third round. Yeah, he was picked out at third or fourth round. And all of a sudden, you got some competition. So I like the fact that he's going out seeking advice from, you know, his former peers and everything else. And I think it's going to be a real good thing for Chad Williams and a player that I'm going to be monitoring during training camp and the preseason there as well, because somebody needs to step up. And Christian Kirk, you know, rookie, very, very highly sought after. But again, I really look at how are the Cardinals going to use their wide receivers? Because Christian Kirk, to me, is an inside guy. He's a slot guy. And new coaching staff here in Arizona, and one of the things I was researching just the other day about Mike McCoy and his offenses, they might not use three wide receiver setups. They might put somebody in the backfield to block for David Johnson to be a pass catcher. That's very possible, the setup here, where Bruce Arians never did that. And if that's the case, Larry Fitzgerald's got to move to the outside. I'm sure he could manage out. He's totally equipped to handle the outside. There's no problem with that. But who can play else outside? I mean, Chad Williams, Christian Kirk, these are both sort of inside-type wide receivers. I assume it's going to be my boy Bryce Butler, which I'm very, very excited about. But I just find it interesting how they're going to utilize their wideouts here in Arizona. We'll be monitoring that going forward as well. Other news around the NFL, yeah, big news day, is that the Rules Committee, and every time I hear frickin' Rules Committee, I think Jeff Fisher, and it makes me sick to my stomach. It really does. It really bothers me. But nevertheless, the Rules Committee approved the changes to kickoffs. All right, so the kickoff rule changes are going to be implemented here in the 2018 season. They want to reduce high-speed collisions. They want to so what they're doing, you can't have a running start for kickoff coverage teams, meaning everybody has to line up on the line of scrimmage. You can't do that, you know, run forward and time it out. Take a couple seconds of leverage away from the defending team. They also say that 8 of the 11 guys on the return team must be aligned in setup zone within 15 yards of the football. That's that sort of middle area that you're going to have. 8 of the 11 guys must be there. You cannot block anymore within that setup zone until the ball hits the ground or touches the ball carrier. You cannot use wedge blocks anymore on kickoffs as well. So no more two-man wedge. I mean, if you guys remember 10 years ago, everyone used to hold hands and form those 3-4-5-man wedges, and the kickoff returner would just be running right through them, you know? So I mean, I like that. Kickoff team must also have 5 men lined up on either side of the ball so that you can't end up with leveraging and getting, you know, 6 or 7 guys all on one side where the opponent only has 5 blockers ahead as well. So pretty interesting stuff as it pertains to that. How much will it matter to fantasy football? No idea. Really don't know. It seems to be some of these rules somewhat beneficial for the returning team, whereas they don't want to see as many injuries as supposed to be. These days, the NFL just says, hey, we want to reduce injuries and any rule in the world will get passed. Hey, you get to carry 1 firearm per team. Oh, that's totally cool. You carry a gun now. What's going to limit injuries? Oh, cool. There'd be more casualties, but either way. Those are some. They also made changes to the ejection policies as well. I don't have any final news on that, but a number of different changes taking place. We'll get into it all. If those of you who will end up purchasing our fantasy football draft guide this summer, which is in development as we speak, we're going to have an extensive write-up about the rules, as we always do every single year, and how it impacts fantasy football as well. If there's a specific rule you think could impact, hit me up on Twitter at Jeff_Manns, and we'll definitely go through all of those for you. So that news is just coming out here today as well. Let's talk about game theory. I want to talk a little bit. Let me riff a little bit with you guys, because chances are, you guys have played fantasy football for a number of years. Chances are you're football fans, or you maybe play other fantasy sports. Maybe you're a DFS guy and you're seasonal fantasy baseball. I don't know what everybody's background is. We're all different. But one thing I want to have addressed right out of the gate: nobody has mastered this game yet. Nobody has solved the riddle of fantasy sports, and specifically fantasy football, yet. Nobody. Just like the NFL, nobody has mastered the game of NFL. Not even Tom Brady. Not even you massholes out there. Not even Brady has mastered the game of football. Nobody has. So with that in mind, you need to continue to evolve. You need to continue to grow. You need to change your approach. You need to understand more. You need to learn, develop. You never stop. In the fantasy sports industry, at my former employers, I ran my own business, bought and sold by a couple of different people. I have always carried with me a mentality of this: adapt or die. That's it. You adapt or you die. And covering sports and talking about sports and writing about sports and playing sports, playing fantasy sports, any element of it, if you're not adapting to the ever-changing atmosphere and surroundings, then you're going to die. You're a dinosaur. You will go the way of the dodo very, very quickly. I want a specific example of this. I talked about it on my SiriusXM radio show on Monday afternoon. By the way, Sirius 210 XM 87 every weekday. It's the Guru Elite Show hosted by me. Yours truly, Jeff Manns. We've got Ted Schuster and Ray Flowers, also from Guru Elite, that host with me Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays. So you will hear their lovely voices as well. And we talked on Monday, Ted and I were talking about it on the air, and we were talking about the Las Vegas Golden Knights and how an expansion team, if you're not familiar with hockey in the NHL, and I'm not going to turn this into an NHL podcast. We'll let my boy Kenneth Lee do that, or Nick Rodriguez. But if the, with the Vegas Golden Knights, they are in the Stanley Cup final. So everybody's aware. They are 4 wins away from winning the Stanley Cup in their first season of existence. That's right. Yeah. Those of you are saying, who are the Vegas Golden Knights? I don't even know what that is. Is it Golden Shower? Are they R. Kelly? Like, what is this? I don't even know what it is. First year in the NHL, it's an expansion team. The expansion team goes to the Stanley Cup Finals. And it's absolutely insane. And people are now, and all of a sudden, it was a great story during the season when they had a good regular season and all that. Now people are starting to cry foul and bitch and complain around the NHL. Oh, they had an easier time. They had an easier time than, you know, setting up that team. They had a lot of advantages. They had number one pick. You know, we didn't get to protect enough players. Bull crap. Bull crap. They did a hell of a job. You're taking away from what that organization has done and those players have done. And what the Golden Knights showed, nobody solved the NHL yet. No, it has, just like football, hockey has not been solved either. And there's no one way to build a winner. There's no one way to win in fantasy sports. And what the Vegas Golden Knights hopefully have taught all of us is that none of us have all the answers. None of us have mastered the game yet. Except me, of course. I definitely mastered all the game. But no, obviously I haven't. We need to continuously adapt and grow and change and be creative. And I think that's something that people just don't do in fantasy. We get our ways. We win a championship in 2006. And we think, oh, my God, I'm going to win. I'm just always going to be great. I remember I got into the industry. I didn't even know there was industry. And I got in around 2004, really full-time 2005. And at that time, I'd played 16 years of fantasy sports, including hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and all the like, before DFS was even out. And I thought I had it mastered. I'll tell you the truth. I thought, oh, I'm just going to – I win my home league, you know, 3 out of every 5 years or so. I'm in the playoffs every year. Of course I'm going to win. And I got my ass handed to me. And not only that, people outfought me, and people were, you know, growing and adapting. There was a new way to think and a new way to grow. And so I had to evolve, and I evolved. And then I was at the forefront of all that. And I have pushed myself and our entire team here at Guru Elite to continuously evolve and adapt constantly. It's the only way to do it. The way we won in fantasy sports in 2012 is not how we're going to win in 2018. All right? And you can use any year for comparison. It's just not going to happen. So we need to keep getting better. Do something different. Change with the times. I hated, and I still hate, zero running back was a fallacy. The zero running back theory was one of the worst things ever thought of in the history of fantasy football. It was a terrible idea, but I never used it. I fought against it forever, and for 4 years now, people have fought me on it. And it's funny because 3 years ago, I was getting destroyed in these conversations, or seemingly destroyed. People were using some recency to win the argument with me. And then each one of the last 3 years, bing, boom, bang, less and less and less opposition, all right, every single year, because zero running back's garbage. Are you guys good? How's zero running back going to work for you today? How's it going to work out? It's going to be bad, because right now in the current ADP, 9 of the first 12 are running backs. What do you got to say to that? Are you going to go zero RB? Which positions are you going to get? Zero RB only works when you gobble up some guys who just happen to hit. And normally, if you did your homework anyway, if you've done your research and you know the best running systems and coaches and offensive line upgrades the offseason, you could identify those guys anyway. So you could still get a quality running back and then draft those guys as backups or secondary starters either way. But that was a garbage philosophy. But as garbage as the zero running back theory was, it was still innovative. It was still something new. It was still different. And if you're not willing to take a chance and be different, even if it falls flat and it's a mistake, because at least a mistake you learn, shit, I can't do this. I can't draft no running backs, because then I'm going to be stuck with nothing but the world, Darren Sproles and Orleans Darkwa and all that kind of stuff. That's all I'll be. If you want, then you realize you learn something, and by learning something like that, even though it may have ripped apart one or more of your seasons, you will never make those mistakes again. And the next time a fad like that comes up, you will be able to avoid it because of your experience. And that means everything. And you need to continuously create and innovate. And it's what we do at Guru Elite. It's the way I play fantasy sports. And it's why I have a humble yet braggadocious guy like myself who openly says, I'm not the smartest guy in the world for sure. I don't pretend to be, but I have nothing but chips on my shelves, nothing but trophies, nothing but championships and high stakes winnings at the highest levels of every single sport to show for it. And every one of you listening is probably smarter than I am. Every single one of you probably or could be better at fantasy sports than I am. Absolutely. Some of you probably are now. Some of you might be soon. But you're not going to get that way without that knowledge, without adapt or die. Change the philosophies. Be willing to change. Because something worked 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, 4 years ago, does not mean it's going to work now. All right? It's not going to work, no matter what. So that's something you have to take into consideration. And you just cannot, you can't sit and rest on your laurels. The moment that you do, you're done. Your opponents will get a leg up on you. And with that in mind, I want to talk about best ball contests, best ball leagues right now. We mentioned it the other day that this is a prime way of getting a jump on your competition. This is a prime way for you to make money in with your football knowledge right now. All right, it's a good way to get that set up. And it's one of the – we talked about future bets on last episode. Talk about some best ball tips and tricks here. Last episode, I actually talked about my two quarterback theory. Be willing to draft only two quarterbacks. Why do you only want to draft two quarterbacks? Because you free up one extra position for yourself to draft a quarter or a running back, wide receiver, or even a defense. And that one player could be the difference. You don't need three quarterbacks in best ball. You just don't need them. There's no sense in it. You don't need three guys. The reason we wait on quarterbacks in redraft formats is because they're all pretty strong, solid competitors. All right? And I could get into this deeply, but I mentioned the last podcast. I don't want to go back-to-back podcast, talk about the exact same thing. My focus today is going to be on what quarterback pairings do I like the most. So for best ball leagues out there, we understand you only need two quarterbacks, right? If you're assuming you're on with me. But now let's talk about how to form that roster in an MFL 10 in a best ball league on draft.com. By the way, draft.com, use the promo code GURUELITE. And you get in contests with us, you get the latest and greatest from the Elite Mafia, you get a 100% deposit bonus there as well. It's fantastic. You get 100% deposit back to you. You're playing with the house money for the entire time. Play with the house money. Make a nice substantial investment so you can play longer. It's a good time. Then play against us, and once you're better than me, beat my ass and take all my money and leave my family broke. Thanks a lot, assholes. Nevertheless, best ball pairings quarterback-wise. So what do we do? Let's go over the current ADP, right, shall we, for the quarterback position. Number one is Aaron Rodgers. His ADP right now, and I'm using MFL 10 ADP data. ADP standing for average draft position, just so we're on the same page. 48.4 is his average draft position. That squeaks him just barely into the fourth round in a 12-team league. Just barely Aaron Rodgers is there. So you don't have to draft a single quarterback before the fourth round. And let's call it the end of the fourth round, really. Rodgers being the number one guy. If you guys check out, my rankings are up, and I updated the rankings. I have the rookie dynasty rankings as well. Totally free, just like this podcast. GuruElite.com is where to go. Under the NFL tab, it says rookie rankings. It says early 2018. fantasy football rankings, all there as well. Rodgers is number one in ADP, and he's number one on my board as well. Yes, he was hurt last year. Yes, the Packers lost Jordy Nelson in the offseason as well. But there's a freak injury to Aaron Rodgers. There is an absolutely no danger of being benched or sat down, or there's no frequency with his injuries and things like that. So I'm totally fine making him number one quarterback. Plus, Davante Adams, Randall Cobb. They bring in Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown. There's some talent at the wide receiver position. They go out and get Jimmy Graham this offseason as well. And I'll address Jimmy Graham when we talk tight ends in a future podcast. But there's a lot of weaponry, so no reason not to think Rodgers is first. Russell Wilson second, a little surprising there. But the interesting thing is Rodgers is 48.4 in ADP. Russell Wilson doesn't go for over a round later, 62.38. That takes him out of the fifth round completely. Pretty interesting that he's, you know, end of the fourth for Rodgers, then the beginning of the sixth for Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Tom Brady, who each come up next with 62, 66, 72, all respectively. So you're getting a couple of those top-end quarterbacks drafted in that sixth round arena. And then we get into the seventh round, and we don't have a single guy in the seventh round. So right now, through seven rounds of an NFL 10, four quarterbacks are only off the board. Whew. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. And use this approach. This is why you don't need you don't need multiple guys. Why are you going to do that? Now, why would we ever bother doing that? What we want to do is then in the eighth round, when we see Carson Wentz, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, that's where all of a sudden it starts all falling down. Kirk Cousins squeaking in that territory as well. Then we get a round later and we have all the balls drop. Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Stafford, Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers, Jared Goff, all right in that range. And now all of a sudden we are officially through, you know, 13 quarterbacks. So when's the right time to target the quarterback in an MFL 10 or best ball? What's the right quarterback pairing, considering we only want two? Remember, two quarterbacks, but you need two top-end guys. You do not want to draft, oh, I'll draft Aaron Rodgers, and my second quarterback will be Tyrod Taylor or Baker Mayfield or, you know, A.J. McCarron or, you know, somebody like Sam Darnold. That would be a terrible pairing, okay? Terrible, terrible idea. You want two guys that just in case there's a freak injury to Aaron Rodgers, that other guy, yeah, maybe you get screwed on one bye week, but you're still in play even if you miss that bye week for making money in your league. Now, if Rodgers goes down, the other guy's going to give you solid points, and he's always going to be the starter. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about benchings or anything like that. So that's where we want to be. And to me, the ultimate pairings for an MFL 10, I really like going Rodgers-Garoppolo. Like, holy God, do I love that combination. And the fact that, let's say, now, I'll say he's a fourth round pick, even though it's right on the cusp, and his ADP is technically, if you really thread the needle, out, it's really a fifth round pick is where Rodgers is going most of the time. But let's say it costs you a fourth round pick. So you lock in, you know, two running backs and a receiver in your first three rounds, and you're off to the races, you're good to go. Then you lock in the best quarterback in the game. All right, great. So where do you come back with? Well, you know, do you want to come back and, you know, two rounds later and go Wilson, Watson, Brady? Nothing terribly wrong with that, but it's not necessary given how people are viewing quarterbacks this year and for the last several years, as a matter of fact. So you're not going back two rounds early. You get another wide receiver or two in there. Maybe your starting tight end is on the board and you lock down a Delanie Walker, you know, somebody like that. Now, two, three rounds later, you're able to get one of either Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo. I love that. Getting Jimmy Garoppolo, folks, to pair with Aaron Rodgers, when you're talking about, what is that, in a 12-team league, ninth round. So take your quarterback in the fourth round, then you get all those other picks. You get the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth round pick. Four other positions, lock down a tight end, fill out your wide receivers, build some depth, and you still come back with a Garoppolo or Stafford or Cousins if you're really high on Cousins. I'm not as high on Cousins. I love Garoppolo, though. They just gave him uber money, crazy amounts of money. There's no chance he's benched or anything. It's fully his season. They've made some really good acquisitions around him. I love the spot Jimmy Garoppolo is in, and he would be my choice to pair at Aaron Rodgers. And boom, we're done. We are done. And if you want to say, screw it, I'm not spending a fourth rounder on Rodgers, and you just said, oh, I'm going to get Deshaun Watson or Brady or Russell Wilson in the sixth and come back in the ninth with Garoppolo, totally great. Phenomenal. Those are great pairings. By the way, do want to mention that if you were to take Rodgers, and in this scenario, the reason it's important with these pairings is that bye weeks. Now, I've already looked at all the bye weeks here, folks. All right. They start week four, they go through week 12. Pretty standard operating procedure. At least there's no week three crap. But Rodgers and Russell Wilson have the same bye week. Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Carr, and Wilson essentially have the same bye week. Those are the expected starters to be off. So take that into consideration, because when you're looking at a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, who I really like, he's off the same week as Tom Brady. So you got to be careful about that. Yeah, week 11, Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo are both off. So if you thought, hey, teacher and student, that will be my pairing. No, not a good idea. You don't do that. So if you want to get Russell Wilson and Jimmy Garoppolo, perfect. If you want to get Rodgers and Garoppolo, totally fine. Brady's your first guy, then you pivot over and you don't go Garoppolo with that second option. You go Cam Newton, who's off early in the season, or Matt Stafford or Drew Brees, you know, whatever direction you want to go in week six. By the way, Brees and Stafford also off the same week. So I don't mind that combination. I didn't mind that combination before the bye weeks, is what I'm saying. I liked it before, but you cannot draft those two guys on the same bye weeks. Okay. Makes sense from an ADP perspective, but obviously not from a bye week perspective. Other combinations there that I like right now, as we sit in May, as high as I am on Andrew Luck, and I have sat there and you guys are abusing me on Twitter all the time, but I'll stand by it. I think Andrew Luck plays all 16 games. Having said that, I cannot draft him in a two-quarterback scheme right now for my best ball leagues. I just can't do it. I think the value is tremendous. It's absolutely fantastic. But the fact that he's not throwing and it's still so early, it's one of those things that if you want to get aggressive, and we talked about on the last podcast, if we're going to get aggressive and we're going to start using, you know, or start basically telling people Andrew Luck's going to be healthy. It's, you know, Carson Wentz going to be healthy. Deshaun Watson's going to be healthy. And by the way, if you think Deshaun Watson's going to be healthy, you don't have any reason to think Andrew Luck's not. That's nonsense. And I've had that argument in all forums with people, and I'll continue to fight for it. So you can't just say Wentz is going to be fine, Watson will be fine, but Luck won't. That's a bullshit argument. It's a lazy argument. It really is. Either they're going to be healthy and we assume it, or they're not and you don't. There's no picks and chooses, all right? So I don't – if you're doing multiple leagues and you're playing an abundance of MFL 10s, I'm not totally against the idea of drafting Andrew Luck, but good Lord, you better have a Rodgers or a Breeze. Somebody who's just always starting. And – if you do that, you could draft Andrew Luck, whose current ADP is underneath everybody else. I said he is the, let me count, 14th. All right, he's moved up a spot actually in ADP. He's real close, neck and neck with Marcus Mariota and Patrick Mahomes. That's a disaster. Pat Mahomes, I love his arm, but he is being drafted where Andrew Luck is in MFL 10. Pat Mahomes ahead of Matt Ryan is a joke. God damn it. That pisses me off. That is absolutely ridiculous to see. Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, Derek Carr, all behind Pat Mahomes. What the fuck? You guys, are you hearing this? Are you seeing this? And you're going to tell me that this isn't an easy pickings right now? This is an easy game. Easy game. Best ball, fantasy football, MFL 10, easy game. Hashtag easy game it. That's ridiculous. Good Lord, that pisses me off that that's like that. But people want the next best thing. Oh, Patrick Mahomes. Guess where Patrick Mahomes is on my quarterback pairing list? Nowhere. Why? Because he's a rookie quarterback, second-year player, never started a game. Started one game, Jeff. All right, he started one game, then the last season. It's totally bullcrap. Not interested. Now, again, Pat Mahomes, if you're doing three quarterbacks and he's your third guy as a breakout, absolutely great, wonderful. One of the best third quarterbacks you could possibly draft. But number one, I'd take Andrew Luck ahead of him. And number two, why are you drafting a guy like that? What's the point in a best ball format at quarterback? You don't need a breakout quarterback, idiot. You need breakout running backs and receivers and tight ends. Those are the positions you need breakouts. If you're drafting inexperienced quarterbacks, you deserve to hit your head against the desk right now or the car windshield or steering wheel if you're driving, wherever you're at. That's what you deserve. No sense in doing that, absolutely. So, good Lord. Other quarterback pairings to avoid. I don't see that. I mean, Mitch Trubisky's a hot name right now. Him and Winston both have the same bye week. Roethlisberger, Carr, Russell Wilson, Rodgers, we talked about. Mariota, Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers. Don't draft two of those guys. They all have the same bye week as well. If you are a Pat Mahomes lover, him and Jared Goff share the same bye weeks, but you should not. Neither one of them should be your number one quarterback. If so, again, stop short, hit yourself in the head with the steering wheel. Talked about Garoppolo, Brady, avoiding that one. Deshaun Watson and Kirk Cousins, avoid that because they are off the same bye week. Andrew Luck, Carson Wentz, Eli, Dalton, Bortles, Bradford for now until it becomes Josh Rosen. They're all off in one of the biggest bye weeks there is, week 9 of the season. So six teams off that week. So make sure you avoid that's all those guys you don't want to pair up as well. So let's see. Where are we at? I talked about my favorite quarterback pairings. I don't think I have any others. Really to dive into today that I think we should make you aware of. You guys get the idea, I hope, at this point. You want one guy in either the fourth, fifth, sixth round, we'll call it, and then as you get to 9, 10, 11, those are your two quarterback pairings. That's where you need to be focused on. That's where you'll be most successful, and you'll be just fine. So any combination that you have is totally fine with me from that point on. You know, if you want to go for a Drew Brees, Matt Stafford combination, I'm absolutely totally fine with that. If you want to go into a, Rodgers, Garoppolo is obviously my number one. Let's say Russell Wilson, who I'm not ultra high on, but if you go Russ Wilson, Stafford, Wilson and Brees, Wilson and I don't want to go Wentz because, again, we want two healthy guys. We don't want to mix and match that many of those guys. Ideally, you want these guys to be healthy. So if you did go Deshaun Watson, you have to gobble up Brees, Stafford, Roethlisberger, Rivers, Matt Ryan, somebody who's not in any kind of risk either because that impacts how early you have to go. So if you did go Deshaun Watson as your first guy, in that first tier of quarterback, you're going to have to back it up that much higher on the back end. So there you go. And that's it. Two quarterbacks, all you need to win in best ball this year. Book it, everybody. All right, that's going to do it. Before I get too mad at this current ADP, I think in future episodes, I'm going to attack some of this ADP even more. There's some amazing value out there at all positions. We're looking around. I talked about Jerick McKinnon. He's a running back too. He's probably a second or third round pick at the worst, going in the fifth and sixth round right now in best ball leagues. Easy game, easy money, everybody. Remember, if you go to draft.com/guru elite or use the promo code guru elite on all your draft.com sign-ups, 100% deposit bonus, and you get to see what me, Tommy G, Draft Cheat, Jeff Collins, all these guys are doing in our draft.com lineups and our drafts as well, our best ball leagues and our daily fantasy baseball contests here as well. So we got all that coming for you as well. Appreciate you guys tuning in here. Hopefully you're enjoying these podcasts as much as I am enjoying bringing them to you again. Free for the foreseeable future here on Fantasy Football Elite, courtesy of GuruElite.com. Follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Mantz. Till next time, everybody, let's gobble up those best ball league entry fees. Let's keep on winning. We'll see you next time.